So we just want to start off this year by, maybe you heard, maybe you didn't hear, Shimon Peres was niftar. So he was the president of the State of Israel, and held himself with a lot of dignity and a lot of class, and represented Am Yisrael in many different ways. Politically, a lot of people disagreed with his positions, but that's democracy, you can disagree with someone's position. But and he happened to be very close to the Ramitel, not very close, but they knew each other. And he was also responsible for two major landmark achievements in the State of Israel. Number one, he was involved in developing nuclear capability for Israel, one of the lead people on the team. And second of all, in the 80s, he was one of the people responsible for reining in hyperinflation in Israel in the 80s. It was tremendous, terrible inflation. And he really worked hard, him and another person. And someone who really represented Am Yisrael, very idealistic, very dedicated to Am Yisrael. So he was niftar, so he was in Shamash and Avon Aliyah, and he was for the improvement of Am Yisrael. So, in Kabbalah, integration is a reflection of a higher cosmic order. And division is a lower cosmic order. So Hashem is the ultimate integration. Hashem, when we say Hashem is a chag, we don't just mean he's exclusive, but he's also indivisible. You can't divide Hashem. Everything in your life can be divided into smaller parts. Even atoms can be divided into subatomic particles. But Hashem is indivisible. There's no way to divide him. Of course, we live in a divided world. We're all divided. So how do you take Hashem's indivisible essence and break it down to division? That's the process of spheros and the interface between Hashem's indivisibility and our our divided world. But when a person really wants to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you try to reach an experience which is integrated. It is not just the difference between Hashem and our world, but also pre-sin and post-sin. Before the world sinned, before man sinned, there was more of an integration. Now we fell into a world of division, where things are divided. Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara, and other forms of division. Now in Rosh Hashanah, we recall and reminisce about the creation of the world. That was a pre-divided reality, where the world wasn't given to division before. What creates division? Time. There's a difference between 12 o'clock and 12:01. Those are different experiences. What creates division? Space. I'm occupying this space, you're occupying that space. If you have a world before time and space, you have a world that's pre-division, undivided, indivisible. So in Rosh Hashanah, we go back to that space of pre-time and space, of that world pre-time and space, and we try to think about a world that's completely integrated. That's what Kabbalah. That's a Kabbalistic overlay for Rosh Hashanah. It's not just Yom HaDin, it's not just remembering the day of creation, but remembering a different reality, a different fabric. One of the ways we capture this is we move away from verbalization into sound. Words are distinct. So this is one word, this is another word. The shofar is a sound. Sounds are integrated. So that's why there's no speech in Rosh Hashanah, because we're recalling a world that's pre-divided. Let's take a look at the first Svas Emes. Rosh Hashanah, you'll hear this and see this language of Kabbalah being displayed. Kodem hischalkus hashefa liyos nishtane. You hear that? Before Hashem's shefa, Hashem's presence, or not presence, but His grace, His hashpa, before Hashem's outpouring was divided to be differentiated. Rosh Hashanah is before that. Ki kishaba chiyos Hashem misbarach le'olam hazeh. When Hashem's shefa, when Hashem's delivery comes to this world, tachas hazman v'hateva, under the influence of time and nature and place, mishtane miruchnias l'gashmias. So it changes from the undivided ruchnias to the divided gashmias. Rosh Hashanah hu hamikor, v'hatchala, kodem mishtanas, before all this division, ki b'mekaro hu b'litzi or gashmi. It doesn't have anything physical. Without anything physical, it's undivided shefa of Hashem. So he says later on, to capture this, we sound the shofar. So one reason this is a day of kol shofar rather than only words is to capture indivisibility, the original indivisibility of a world before time and place. So when you think of the shofar, don't just think about all the rational memories that he elicits, Akedas Yitzchak and Har Sinai and Bias HaMashiach, but also think about the symbolism of the shofar, of that unadorned sound that creates integration. Number two, another thing to think about in Har Sinai, and it's a little bit related, but what I just said before was cosmic. In Hashem's world, non-differentiation is prehistory, and we try to tap into that prehistorical non-differentiation. But also in the history of the Jewish people at Har Sinai, we had two experiences. We spoke to Hashem, and Hashem gave us content, mitzvos, and averos. And then we also heard the voice of Hashem, Naaseh v'Nishma. Unfortunately, what do we compromise? The Naaseh. We're always compromising the mitzvahs, even a few weeks after Har Sinai. So there's a beautiful medrash in which Hashem says, you may have compromised Naaseh, don't forget Nishma. Don't forget that you heard my voice, and that supersedes any fidelity or loyalty to mitzvahs. You heard my voice. So there's a certain power that Jews have to remember hearing the voice of Hashem. The thing about voice is not just content and not just words or prose. So that's another idea the Shofar is trying to elicit. The next small piece. V'yesh lomar alpi ha-medrash. Kil kal tem Naaseh. Medrash I just mentioned. The end of line one. You ruin Naaseh. Hizaru banishma. But be careful about nishma. Ki hakol lo kilkulu. Am Yisrael didn't ruin that interface with Hashem's voice. Not only because we remember that we heard Hashem's voice, but it's of a higher space. Shumakam gavayoser v'kayem lisrael li'olam. Because this voice is of a higher order and is eternal and is unbreakable. So therefore, Hakol Kol Yaakov, we're trying to remember that we heard voices at Har Sinai, and those voices are more enduring than the content of what we heard at Har Sinai. Number three, the Mishnah says you should use a straight shofar. Rabbi Levi in the Gemara says you should use a bent shofar. The Gemara says Rabbi Levi only meant it for a mitzvah. What's going on here? Who cares about a straight shofar, a bent shofar? It's only a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? So rationally, Rashi and the Gemara already say the shofar shape is meant to reflect different postures of human prayer. And those postures, of course, are emotional postures. So you bent over, or you straight up, or different. But obviously in Kabbalah, straight and bent is something a little bit different. So we have to take a few steps back to understand this. Hashem wanted to create the world through Midas Hadin. Namely, He wanted to create a world of precision, causality, consequence. You do something, you pay the consequence, you're accountable. Hashem saw that world couldn't survive. Man is frail. Man is fragile. So He changed the world from Din to Rachamim. Hashem left the Kiseah, the Midas Hadin, and He created a world of Chesed. That's our world of compassion, pity, love. Hashem has Rachmanis on us, we have Rachmanis on each other. This is not a cold world of causality. This is a world animated by and through Chesed. We recreate that process every year. The Medrash says that when we blow a shofar, we change Midas Hadin to Midas HaRachamim. It's based on a pasuk in Perek Mem Zayin in Tehillim. Allah Elokim Betrua. You'll say this seven times before a shofar. Allah Elokim Betrua. Hashem Mekol Shofar. After our trua, Elohim becomes Hashem. Midas Tadin becomes Midas HaRachamim. So the power of the shofar, for whatever reason, is to convert Midas HaKidin to Midas HaRachamim, and then to force Hashem, so to speak, to stand up from the Kisei HaDin and to sit on the Kisei HaRachamim, Kel Melech Yoshev on Kisei HaRachamim, and to judge us favorably. So we reenact Hashem's original decision every year, and we ask Hashem to judge us based on His original decision by blowing shofar. This is all the Midrashim. Now for the Sfas Emes, that doesn't make sense. Jews have this internal, unbreakable, immutable Kedusha. And they don't need Midas HaRachamim to succeed on Rosh Hashanah. They can succeed in Midas Hadin. This is where you see Chassidus' belief in the Jew. This is very, very revolutionary. 95% of the people are saying that on Rosh Hashanah we have to operate on Midas HaRachamim. Sfas Emes says, there's no reason, Zach, you need Midas HaRachamim. You're a Yid. You're Hashem's presence in your neshama. You don't need any favors, so to speak. You should be Zelcha B'din because you're a Yid. But we decide intentionally to elicit Hashem's Midas HaRachamim because we're not just concerned with ourselves, we're concerned with the world, and the world needs Midas HaRachamim. So if we're just concerned, well, with your success on Rosh Hashanah, you wouldn't need a shofar. You could just go straight up and ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Midas HaDin, I deserve to be saved and rescued. But you're concerned with the broader world. So you willfully, volitionally submit yourself. You bend over. Remember that shofar that's bent? You bent over, and you accept the fact that you're going to pull a different system, Midas HaRachamim, so that the entire world can be Zelcha on your behalf. So let's see this happening. Line number five, last paragraph. Uvinei Yisrael, line five, Be'emes, Yichalim Gam B'Mishpat Liskos B'Din. We can be Zelcha even through Mishpat. Because, Achein, five lines from the bottom, HaMitzvah B'Chvufin, why do we take a shofar, Mikra D'Din, that's spiral? Kedei SheYizku Kol HaOlam. Because we want everyone else to also have that successful Rosh Hashanah. We daven for the entire world. The kovavin atzman, and therefore we bend ourselves over willfully. We don't have to. We could stand straight up and accept the din and be zocha and triumph. But we kovav ourselves. We submit willfully. And we look to listen, so when you're thinking about Midas HaRachamim for the Svas Emes and Rosh Hashanah, you don't need it. Because that would downgrade your presence as a Yid, but the world needs it, and you're a representative of the world, and you're davening for the entire world. How much Rachamim does our world need this year after the terrible couple of years we've had? How many people don't have homes? How many people drowning at sea? How many people are victims of terror? So the world needs Rachamim. So we're davening for that Rachamim. And that's why the nickname of Rosh Hashanah, the one word, is Tikur B'chodesh Ofer B'Kesa V'Yom Chagenu. What does Kesa mean? So Kesa, it phonetically sounds like Kisei HaKavod, but etymologically, Kesa comes from Kisei, to cover. Hashanah is a day that's covered. Why is Hashanah called a concealed day? So P'shat, because you don't see Rosh Chodesh. Even though it's Rosh Chodesh, you know, it's a Chag Niskaseba. But there's many, many levels of concealment of Rosh Hashanah. Most intriguingly, the fact that Torah doesn't even tell us about Rosh Hashanah. It tells us for some strange region on the first of the seventh month, we should be Makriv Korbanos. Why is it Yom Adin? We don't even know it's Yom Adin. Everything else we know, we know Yom Kippur is the day of Kapara. So Rosh Hashanah is concealed for all different reasons. But this is another level of concealing. Why? Third to last line, Bakesa Liyam Chagenu, Ki Tzrichim B'Rosh Hashanah, Lechasos Madregas B'nei Yisrael. You have to suppress your ability to be Zelcha B'Mishpat, which a Yid has, and join the world in Rachamim. You have to camouflage yourself. Make believe you need Midas HaRachamim, because the world needs it. Lechasos Madregos B'nei Yisrael, to conceal the unique power of a Yid, Ul Hisarev B'Toch Kol HaBruim, and to intermingle with the rest of the world, and to make believe, to go undercover, to make believe you need Midas HaRachamim. It's very revolutionary. I don't think this should be your only thought in Rosh Hashanah, but it's a very important voice. The thing about in Rosh Hashanah, power of a Yid to be Zelcha, but the responsibility of a Yid to willfully submit and bend his needs and join a more universal plea for world welfare and world prosperity. So three different Svas Emesis. One is the incohate, undivided voice of the Shofar. Number two is the voice of the Shofar that outlasted the betrayal after Har Sinai. Number three, willful submission to a system of rachamim, not for national or personal need, but because you're concerned with a broader equation of human prosperity, and that's hidden. You hide the fact that you can be zocha b'mishpah. That's what makes Rosh Hashanah a hidden day. Okay. A good hidden day, everyone. Don't hide. Come see if this matters.